Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. It is Christmas time, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, wherever you are in the world. Episode 21 of TDN the podcast. And I'm recording this on the 23rd of December. Christmas is the day after tomorrow. Am I excited? I'm excited to cook because I'm cooking. For actual Christmas, I couldn't care less. But, you know, sharing the Christmas vibes, getting the Christmas spirit, you know, listen to some Christmas music, you know, indulge in some Christmas memes and get the Christmas vibes up, because you know what? It should be a time of... Christmas, innit? Just Christmas. Anyway, I'm waffling. You read the title. Here we are today talking about relationship dynamics, love dynamics, you know, the structuring of relationships in society, heterosexual relationships, mostly. But I'll be talking about men and women. So men and women can indulge in either heterosexual or homosexual relationships. So, you know, if you're a gay queen, you can stay. I promise. We're not going to kick you out. Anyway, you know, relationships are difficult. Relationships are weird. And obviously, the people who partake in relationships are part of this society. And I think a lot of the time, a lot of problems in relationships are blamed on men. And a lot of the time, men are the issue. And I would agree with that. I wanted to just talk about some talking points as to why I think that is. Some of it is to do with men being an issue, and they are an issue. And some of it's to do with women just being... Sometimes women get comfortable in their inferiority in society, and then they kind of use that comfortability, and instead of... Like, that makes it worse, do you know what I mean? It'll sound like waffle, but I promise I'm getting onto something, I promise. So my first point in my infamous podcast notes section, if women didn't accept the bare minimum, men would be forced to do better. Right now, this is do the bare minimum, right? Men, a lot of men just do the bare minimum, and it works because you see guys literally do the smallest thing, and certain women just go crazy about it. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, it's really nice that your guy who you're talking to has bought you flowers, or it's true, not even bought you flowers, because that is nice, but oh, he's really nice and caring and sweet to me. He should just do that. He should be nice to people just in general. That shouldn't be a USP. That should not be a unique selling point. Like, if you ask a girl, or if I ask my girlfriend why they like a certain guy, and they're like to me, oh, he's really nice, like, he's really sweet. I'm like, okay. okay. That's okay. The bare minimum, accepting bare minimum is an issue. Like, oh, he's not homophobic. Oh, he's not sexist. He's not racist. He's not all of these things. Like, okay, he should just be doing that anyway. And the fact that people are congratulated by doing the bare minimum means they get comfortable in it. And also, to be fair to guys who, if you're putting in the bare minimum and that is getting you places and that is working for you, why would you then want to put in more energy? Because certain guys will go above and beyond. And then girls are like, oh, all guys should be like this. But the guys who are putting in bare minimum effort, why should they stop? Like, what's the incentive for them to stop putting in the bare minimum when they can get away with doing pretty much next to nothing, just existing as a normal human being should, and they're getting rewarded for it. Do you know what I mean? Women reward bad behavior, and they need to stop. It needs to be stopped. Because honestly, it's an issue. It's a problem, and it allows men to just move mad realistically. Because, like, right, this goes on to another point, right? Guys place a lot of normal guys place heightened value on the opinions of their friends, right? Of their mandem, of their broskies. They want their approval and they want their validation. Why? I don't know. Because since the age of 12, 13, I removed myself from that because ill. It's so toxic. And it's actually not okay. And it's just, it's so bad. Because they'll literally, like, a guy who would really like a girl, like really, really like a girl, and the girl would be really good for them. And then they'll go to their boys and their boys will be like, ah, nah, she's this, she's that. And the guy will just completely go off it. Like, obviously, you're going to be influenced by the people around your opinions, but it should not be, if they don't like you, I don't like you. Like, if the girl's done nothing wrong, she's done nothing wrong. And it'll be weird things as well. It'll be such weird things that they cancel the girl for. And it's just like, well, why don't you just use your own brain? And why don't you act as a human being, as an individual, which you are. You're not part of a group. You're on this planet. You came to this planet by yourself. Even if you're a twin, one of you came out first. You came into this planet by yourself. You're an individual. You're not part of a group. These people, half the time, they're snaking you anyway. Just stop caring about other people's opinions and just focus on yourself. So my message to the guys listening to this. My male listeners have gone up recently. So I am now more inclined to talk about things that influence guys rather than girls, because around, I think it's 30% now. 30% of my all-time listeners are male, which is kind of scary, because like it just came out of nowhere. It was like 5% at the beginning for the longest time, until like the last like month, and then the male listeners have really started popping up and thriving. And that was even before the F1 episode, so I won't pay down to that. It's just weird. It's just odd. It's just kind of scary. Kind of scary. A lot of the time people view sex as a reward, especially women. And this is now me blaming women for certain things. Not blaming them, but as in like they play a role in something that happens that's bad. Like women like viewing sex as a reward to give to men and not something as, you know, not an act that they partake in out of choice and enjoyment. Is very, very detrimental and very dangerous as well. Because if they're like, oh, if he's a good boyfriend, then I'll give him sex. Or if he's a good guy and he's, as I said before, entertaining and attractive, then I'll give him sex as a reward. If he does something good, I'll give him sex. This is dangerous. Why? You might be thinking, why? Why? It doesn't make sense. That seems perfectly reasonable. Viewing sex as a reward, women viewing sex as a reward to give to men, enables men to view sex as something that once you get it, it's achieved. There's no reason to be there, right? So a lot of girls are like, oh no, like in the beginning stages of talking to a guy, they'll be like, no, we're not going there yet. So it's now a challenge for the guy. And the thing that he wants is sex, because it's like this golden chalice that he can't touch. And obviously as human beings, you're attracted to things that you can't have, right? So now once that's placed on the pedestal, once sex is placed on the pedestal, the guy's going to do everything that he can to reach it, because it's now a challenge and people like challenges, right? And he'll do whatever it takes to get to that challenge. He'll lie, he'll manipulate, he'll sell false dreams in order to get to that place, yeah? And as you can see now, you'll begin to see why it's dangerous. Once he gets that thing, why would he stay? Like, why? Why would he stay? If that's what he came for, and you said that he can get that after this, after A, B, C, D, once he gets that thing that he wanted in the beginning, he's got no reason to stay if he didn't genuinely like you. That's why, like, women viewing sex as a reward to give to men can facilitate men being dickheads. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that men are allowed to be dickheads. Just don't do that. It's just stupid. It's silly. If you just want that, then be front, be straight up. You know, lead with it. Because a lot of the time, women just want that too. Shock horror, women can like sex. Wow. Breaking news. I know. But a lot of the time, you know, they can be chill with it. And the girls who aren't, at least you've been honest with them. And you're not breaking hearts. Because you should not want to be a heartbreaker. It's not fun. It's not fun. And if you find joy in breaking hearts, then you either love the feeling of power, but you can't get it in healthy ways. And in that case, shame on you. You're a pathetic human being, and just do better and get it in the proper ways. Or you're just an evil human being who likes inflicting pain on women, which, you know, sexism, misogyny. Wow. Alicia asked me, my friend Alicia, love you Alicia, listen to this, love you babe. She asked me, if you love someone out of pity, is it really love? right? And it got me thinking, because a lot of the time, you'll be in a scenario, a situation where you have a person in your life and you kind of just, they're there, they exist. And, you know, you have no feelings towards them or whatever. Or whatever feelings you have, they're not feelings of love or affection or whatever. And then someone will tell you, oh, this person really likes you. Then you'll start to look at them. You'll start, like, once that seed is planted, you'll start to, you know, you'll start to analyze what they do. And you'll start to take note of things that suit that agenda, because now you're looking out for it. It's the same concept as, I don't know, if your family gets a new car, you're now seeing that car a lot more when you're when you're driving than when you didn't have that car. Now you're looking for something, you can see it, right? So once that seed is planted, that this person likes you, you're going to be looking out for things, and it's going to start looking like they like you because you're looking at things and you're construing things before that you would have just, you know, you wouldn't have taken notice of it before. Now you're taking it as they like me, and that's another thing to add to that list of reasons why they do, right? Now, this isn't necessarily pity, because I think that comes later. With, like, people liking you, people asking you out, or people being nice to you. For, like, as I said before, I think I've said this before on the podcast. If not, I've just said it to people. A lot of the time, there's pressure on people, especially women as well, to like a guy if they like them. It's perfectly okay for people to like you, not for you to not like them. It's perfectly fine. Because you can't be with everyone who likes you. It's impossible. And I guarantee you, to everybody who's listening, like every single soul who's listening to this podcast, there's more than one person that likes you. I promise you. I actually promise. Like, sometimes we forget that there's loads of people in this world and we actually know a lot of people. Like, just take it, like, from face value. Like, us right now, 17, 18 years of age, you've been in school, primary school, 30 people in your class. For me, we had 3 classes in our year group, right? So there was 90 people in our year group. Say 70 people know who you are. They know you inside out, but they know of you, right? Those 70 people, you now go to secondary school, 30 people in a class. Now for me, 8 classes in the year group, right? Now 30 times 8, 240 people, say 200 of them know you. 270 people just know you, just like that. 270 people, right? Now that's a big number. Yeah. 135 people, considering you're straight. If you're bisexual, then even more. The whole 240 could be into you. But say half of that, 135 people. If you have 135 people who know you, I promise you at least 2 like you. Like, it's a fact, or they've had a crush on you, or they have something towards you. Like, it's just the numbers game. And then that's not even throwing in, like, if you did sports, or if you outside school, like friends who you had in primary school, you went to different secondary schools, your circles grow everywhere that you go. Ooh, what a line. Your circles grow everywhere you go. So each time you go out, you meet like 3 people. Say you see them on socials and they're with their friends. Now you're friends with their friends. You've never met them before, but now you know them. And it just keeps growing and growing. You know a lot of people in this life, and you probably know well over 1,000, 2,000 people just from existing on this planet. And just pure numbers game, I promise you, more than one person's had a crush on you. It's just factual information. So it's impossible for you to then like everyone who likes you. So just get out of your mind. You do not need to like people just because they like you. It's perfectly okay to reject people if you don't like them. It's perfectly fine. And doesn't mean you need to hate them, but just because they like you, this is not cause for you to start developing feelings for them. Anyway, back to Alicia's point. If you love someone out of pity, is it love? No, it's not, because you've been manipulated, not by the person, but by your own feelings. Your brain is playing tricks on you, because what you're feeling is pity and not love. You might be a kind person, you might be a compassionate person, feel sympathy towards them for, you know, whatever you're feeling. Whatever reason it is that you're feeling pity towards them, there's going to be a reason for that, no. But as I said before, that feeling that is there is pity over love. You might have love for them. And you can definitely feel pity for someone when you're in love with them. But if you love someone purely out of the case of pity, it's not love. And that's just factual information. So that's that, to answer your question, Alicia. And you know what? You have my PayPal, so you can pay me. I'm just going to take a break from talking about love, because I do that quite a lot. It's, you know, it's a good thing to have a break. Anyway, going to talk to you a bit about my NBA journey. For the non-sports fans, I promise it won't be that long. You can stay. Anyway, a random week day in September decides, you know what? I'm up. It's late. I wonder what's going on. Decides, I don't even know why I decided to watch the NBA. I just decided to put on a bit of basketball. And the game I started to watch was Boston Celtics versus the New York Knicks. Now, little did I know this was the first game of the season. I didn't know that the NBA started in September. I don't think it normally starts in September. I think it was because of COVID. I don't know, I might be wrong. I still don't know a lot about basketball. Anyway, I decided to support the Boston Celtics because that's just where my heart went during the game. And, you know, I use the same logic that I used in football. I support Man United, and I support Man United because the first game that I watched was the 2008 Champions League final between Manchester United and Chelsea. And during the game, my heart sided with Manchester United. Why? Because my favourite colour was red. And now I've been a lifelong supporter since I was four. That makes so much sense, kidding. Anyway, I decided to support the Boston Celtics. Little did I know that the Boston Celtics aren't, you know, amazing. They're not world's class. They're not going to win the NBA this year. I mean, they might via the playoffs, but they're not going to win their conference anyway. So they're very middling. I think our record is like 16 wins, 16 losses, something like that. It's very middling. But I've fallen in love with Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is my Marcus Rashford in basketball. Love him. Just the way he plays, it's just beautiful. And last couple games, actually, you know, we've actually been playing some really good basketball. I just wanted to say that. Really enjoying the NBA at the moment. Is it because Man United haven't played in 3 weeks and I'm putting, you know, more emphasis on basketball because it's the only sport that I can indulge in after the tragedies of Formula One? Maybe. But, you know, in that time, my love for basketball is growing. And I really do see myself becoming entrenched in this year. I am a Boston Celtics fan. I can say it with chess now. The trial period is over. I cannot imagine myself supporting another team. I'm a fully fledged Boston Celtics fan. And that is that. Okay. That's the NBA section over. We can get back to normal podcast proceedings. I told you it wouldn't be long. I can literally see the time on my screen. It's been 2 minutes and 36 seconds. So thank you. No more shouting about talking about sports, yeah? My podcast, my rules. Yeah, you're listening by your choice. And, you know, talking about choices, let's start talking about free will. The idea of free will. Do humans have free will? If you're a Christian, you would believe that they do. And I think a lot of people do believe that humans have free will. How free is free will? How free is free will? Because at the end of the day, when people are like, humans have free will, like, what teachers love to say is, and you guys are here by choice, you're sitting in this lesson by choice, you know, you could walk out if you really wanted to. Well, no, because our free will, our desire to walk out of class is then restricted by the evident punishment that you'd get after that. So is it free will? Not really, because your decision have been manipulated by the fact that there's punishment thereafter. Right? So, anyway, that's just free will. I think humans have free will to a point. It's not as free as we think it is. Anyway, the ideas of destiny and fate, and then the idea of free will, those can't coexist. Because you cannot believe that humans have free will, and then people are fated and destined for certain things. Because if humans have free will, you can do anything, right? Fate and destiny then can't be a result of humans doing anything, because if you believe in, you know, if you're religious, my views on religion, perfectly stipulated in episode 15. You know, if you're religious, you believe that God has decided everything that's going to happen in your life. You're going to die at this point, right? Then if you decide to kill yourself right now, if I decide to kill myself right now at age 17, religious people would be like, oh, it was God's choice for you to kill yourself, right? Then if it was God's choice for me to kill myself, my decision to commit suicide was not free will. So then destiny and fate, my destiny to die at 17, is either destiny or it's free will. Those can't coexist. I don't know whether I'm making sense here. I'll try and give another example, right? So say you're destined to fall in love with somebody who lives in Mexico. And your whole life, you know, you've been thinking about going to Mexico. And you made that decision to go to Mexico. That is an action of free will. You know, you can leave the country, providing you know, you have the necessary documents and, you know, the money and everything, you can leave England or wherever you are and go to Mexico. Right? That's free will. And you can fall in love with someone there. Perfect. If you're fated to fall in love with someone in Mexico, your decision to go to Mexico was not free will, because you had to be there for fate to happen. Fate and destiny cannot coexist with the idea that humans have free will, which goes on to, which bodes well with my point, rather, that free will for humans is capped. I'd say around, I think humans have 40% of the free will that we think we have. We're not free. We're restricted mentally, we're restricted spiritually, we're restricted societally, economically. All of the E's, we're restricted by them, I promise. We're so restricted as humans. Like, people love to say, you can do whatever you want, but no, you can't. You can't. You know, if people are like, oh, you can go and start a business. That, I mean, no, you can't. You need to be able to have a certain amount of money to start a business. Like, free will is impacted by so much. Like, free will, like, the desire to have it, that can exist. The desire to achieve things can exist. You can be free in your thoughts. But even that's capped. As I said before, you can be restricted mentally. Like, for people with depression like me, I sometimes on mornings, I'm like, okay, I want to go and have a shower. And I physically can't get out of bed. Like, my brain won't allow me to move. My brain won't allow my body to move. Therefore, I'm limited mentally. I'm restricted by my brain to carry out my free will, which is to go and have a shower. So it's just, I'm really getting into psychology at the moment. I'm really falling in love with it. You know what? Let me even open my notes section on that, because there was something that I learned yesterday that was really, really interesting. The Dunning-Kruger effect, right? The idea that people tend to overestimate their knowledge, their ability, their... People tend to overestimate what they have when they're given little, right? That won't make sense. Let me explain it better, right? Say you're, I don't know, say you're playing chess. An inexperienced chess player will overestimate their ability because they haven't played chess a lot. Like, people who, oh, this is a good one, right? I was watching someone react to football and they were like, football's not that hard. Me being an avid football fan, I know it's difficult. People who don't know things, people who have inexperience in a certain field, will underestimate their ability in that field because they don't know how hard it is. You have to be in a situation, you have to have exposure to a certain situation in order to know how difficult it is. And until you have that, you're going to underestimate how hard it is. Like, that's just it. And I just thought, no, that's actually really, really... Like, obviously, it's a thing that everyone has, because it's psychological, everyone has a brain. If you don't, you're not alive. And if you're listening to this and you don't have a brain, you're not alive. Hi. How's hell? Because you're definitely not in heaven. But anyway, my trips into psychology, my growing love for it, it'll probably become an episode in its own one day. But I just wanted to talk about that, because the idea of free will really saw my mind quite a lot recently. So there's that. I don't have much else to say, loves. I think this is it. Episode 21. It's been a fun time. You know, where have I been recording? On my bed, as usual. You know, very rarely do I sit down. I sat down last episode, and then I uploaded last episode, and Alicia told me that she could hear my feet tapping on the floor. And I was like, never again. Never, ever again. So, you know, for the episodes to come, for the near future, I will be recording exclusively in my bed. Because I'm tapping on nothing. And all you can hear is my beautiful voice inside your ear holes. Anyway, that's all my knowledge I have for you, my loves. You know, have a very, very Merry Christmas. If you're listening to this after Christmas, have a very good New Year. If you're listening to this after New Year, have a very, very blessed 2022. You've been empowered by the powers that are invested in me, by the powers of the GDN multiverse. You know, we're taking over very soon. And... wait for it, wait for it. Don't die. Don't commit suicide. And peace.